Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
No easy way to say this, so I'll just say it.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
We all know this is not going to end well.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I know exactly how you feel.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Back off! No one else gets hurt!
Mace.
You crazy son of a bitch!
Omega.
Sounds like we need to work on our communication.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I can't live like this anymore.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now, the only way you and me keep on is that you accept everything I just said right here, right now.
That kid, you did that! The kid!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our producer on the ball tonight with a very appropriate song for a very dead week in the world of professional wrestling, but I'm sure we'll find something to talk about.
Lots and lots. Lots and lots.
Oh, yeah. Lots.
I mean, we had this conversation last night.
Yeah.
Lots.
Oh, we couldn't fit it all in.
I know.
Chocked to the brim.
We had to cut things off the run sheet. It's just crazy.
Yeah. We don't want to keep you here until 3 in the morning. So we'll just go with what we got right now.
Yeah. We'll just go with it.
Right.
Right.
I'm Omega, the be-all end-all of our little network. Also spitting bullshit with me tonight is Mace.
Yes, I am here after a weekend of going and playing video games.
You're playing video games.
I went and got to be Mr. Media Man at all the nice little conventions, and all the PR people like me and they give me good things.
Yeah, it's cool to be in good with people.
Yeah, when they give you pop vinyls and your $200 headsets and... Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
Kia, a bribe to make it sound good.
Talk us up tremendously. Here's free tchotchkes that we want that to influence you. It's like, is that another pop vinyl that showed up in your bag? Yeah. I'm sure you'll be quite honest in your opinion of them.
Hey, it saved me having to buy the WWE 2K16 special edition to get that pop vinyl, so I'm happy. Okay.
So, Mr. Tim Stein, what conventions do you go to press as?
I don't go to conventions.
Boring.
He should, though. Tim should start going to conventions.
I don't want to get Legionnaire's disease.
But do they have, like, cooking conventions in your area?
They have cooking conventions?
Do they? I'm asking, do they seriously have cooking conventions in your area?
That was a question on my part. They actually have cooking conventions?
They probably do.
They have conventions for everything, Tim.
They do?
Yeah.
Do they have conventions for conventions called the convention?
I'll bet they do, honestly.
They have awards for conventions. Like, seriously, the best convention award. That was something I learned over the weekend. I'm like, wow, that's just... Okay.
No,
We're getting too meta with this shit.
That is a thing, yeah.
How unconventional.
He took it one too far. One too far.
My liver.
What? What? Jesus. What? Seriously. I don't know. Well, hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the place to hang out and digest all that goddamn candy.
Still got it here.
Leftover?
Mm-hmm.
How much? What were you giving out last night?
It was a pretty decent grab bag, little Hershey bars, little Milk Duds, basically like this one big bag of stuff you normally get at the movie theater.
Okay.
Essentially like that. But we also had like one kid show up. And then an hour later when we were wondering why we bought so much candy, we had like five small groups show up in a row over the course of 10 minutes.
Damn.
Still, lots of leftover. I'm not complaining. Wow.
Of course, it's November the 2nd for our Australian friend, Mr. Mace. So it was 2 days ago that you guys did Halloween. Did you give it a lot of candy, or do you do all that stuff in Australia?
Well, traditionally, Halloween is not celebrated here in Australia. However, we did have a big plastic cauldron full of candy, which I believe went untouched. I had no idea because I basically locked myself in my room with my nice, fancy, free headset and put on scary movies.
Ah, well, that would explain it, I guess, eh?
But I still have candy.
Candy's always good.
I went to the shops and I bought a bag of candy.
Ah, that's the good thing about the day after Halloween. Yeah, all the shit that you liked as a kid growing up, and maybe you're still a kid, I don't know, but it's all like at least 50% off, and in some cases up to 80% off, depending on whether or not the store overstocked on their Halloween candy.
Yeah, it's called Half Price Candy Day. It's the best day of the year.
It's even better than Black Friday.
You know, in some aspects,
we don't always need a brand new goddamn 50-inch TV for $600.
You know, there are people right now waiting in line for Black Friday.
God.
Already?
Yeah.
Isn't that like 24 days away?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, people?
Have you never seen the lines that happen for an iPhone these days, Tim? Like 3 months out, people will... There are people lining up now for day one of Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just it's ridiculous and retarded, and I'm positive that somewhere in England there's a whole bunch of people waiting to see the new James Bond, which is in, I do believe, 5 days?
I thought it's already out.
I thought it wasn't out till November the 6th.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure it's not out till November the 6th.
You know what? Just like Daniel Craig, I don't give a flying fuck about James Bond.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat there.
Yeah,
wow.
It came out in the UK on the 26th. It's out on the 6th in the States.
Oh, I win. I mean, I was right, or whatever.
Wikipedia had it last night, said October 26th, so.
Oh, yeah, but that was only in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. I'm surprised that they're releasing it on the 26th and not the 27th, and the 6th and not the 7th. But whatever the Hollywood take for the week that it's released, you know that it's going to that the however much money it takes in, it'll end in seven, like 57 million and $7. It wasn't meant as a bad joke. It was just because that's what they do with every James Bond release. That's enough. Cut it out.
I have no idea, but you know what? I'll join in Tim's pointless facts and figures. The movie that people should be watching in November, The Nightmare Before Christmas, because it bridges the gap between Halloween and Christmas.
Well, of course.
Is 22 years old.
Oh my god. Now who feels old?
Oh, I've been feeling old for quite a while, because it's like most of the franchises I grew up as a kid are now hitting 30 plus years old. Isn't that right, Omega?
I'm playing with toys. Fuck off.
He's playing with toys. Well, speaking about playing around, why don't we just, like, you know, hop right into Win and Fail and really piss everybody off and go to Omega first?
No.
Every week, Omega, at the beginning of the show, we do a little thing called Win or Fail. Win and Fail.
I had not heard
you
of this.
You would think that after a year and change...
You're talking nonsense. I don't know what you're talking about.
You would be prepared by now.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Tim,
I think
Tim,
you do.
Tim.
What?
You can't talk.
Shut up. I'm busy. Okay, Mace, what's your win for the week?
Ba-ba.
Boo Dallas. Boo Dallas is the win for everything. Boo Dallas.
Actually, believe it or not, I'll agree with that. I actually was that bored that I sat and I watched SmackDown. And I saw Boo Dallas. And I thought that was hilariously cheesy, especially at the end.
It was
because
good.
You never walk up to a big black guy wearing a white sheet over your head. It never ends well.
Nope.
Yeah, that's... I don't know if they even had it figured out what was going on with that when they decided to do that, but someone, like the second place my mind went to.
to add on to that, for Halloween they had R-Truth versus Bo Dallas on a house show. He dressed up as R-Truth. Just saying.
Hey, the NXT people had like one of their house shows. They had a costume battle royal. Mm-hmm. Bayley was dressed up as a Lego figure. Finn Bella was dressed up as CM Punk. There was somebody dressed up as a bottle of mustard.
Right. Sasha Banks wins it all. She dressed up as Bayley.
Wow.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Twitter.
There was another shot of Bayley dressed as the Pink Ranger.
I'm just impressed that somebody got away with dressing up as CM Punk.
It's Halloween. You're going to dress as the scariest thing to the people around you.
Okay. I guess we'll go with that one. Honorable mention on my part goes to, I can't believe that I'm giving them honorable mention to the New Day on SmackDown.
The horny unicorns?
The commentary during the match when they're doing the commentary and they basically took over from the guys. Absolutely hilarious.
See, welcome to what Omega and I have been touting on this show for the past, 2 months.
No, I know. I've just been resisting it because I just the whole concept of New Day it's something that should never work ever in any wrestling promotion at all for anything other than a one-off for jobbers to pull off because you don't have something for your main talent who has just finished a program with somebody and they've managed to make it work for how long now? But yeah, honorable mention on my part to them. I'm giving a grade A to Bray Wyatt from Monday Night Raw. Basically, yapping about the dead man and destroying him and feeding off his soul. The whole promo that he gave that led to Kane storming out. Got a couple of memorable quotes there. That last night referring to the pay-per-view, the apocalypse showed its face, destruction, desolation, legends in fear. The whole thing was a trap, from Layfield. That's my win for the week. Omega, are you going with Boo Dallas?
No, I am not. I am not going for Boo Dallas.
Although it was funny.
I will also go with Bray.
Really? You like the promo? The whole thing?
It's a properly creepy promo. It's more along the lines of what he should have been doing the first time he went after Undertaker.
Yep.
And I'm interested to see what they're actually doing with them storyline-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently he's just collecting really big guys right now.
Yep. Well, we all know that, it's leading to a Survivor Series match between the Wyatts and the Brothers of Destruction with one more run.
He's collecting big guys, their hats, and their mask.
But who's going to be the next person that they're going after to join Taker and Kane?
I did miss the end of SmackDown. The spoiler said they tried to carry off Ryback.
That did not air.
Okay, I didn't think it aired. But so far, they're only carrying off people who claim to be dead at one point or another.
I guess that would do. That would include Ryback.
Okay, keep alert, Vince McMahon.
I would assume the next person's Dean Ambrose, but that's just me.
Okay, well, let's talk about failures. Omega, do you actually have a fail ready to go?
I would probably give it to one of the more obnoxious shills for a video game I've seen on WWE television.
Oh.
Let's have The Miz, and I like The Miz, except for he's like doing jack shit in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
This last year especially. And they think, that's the guy we need promoting our WWE game the entire night. And then let's waste a little bit of Stone Cold airtime of him just coming on screen with someone who's being really obnoxious and not beating the ever-loving shit out of him.
Was in Stone Cold on for a grand total of maybe 30 seconds for the entire program.
That's 30 seconds worth of ass kicking he could have been doing.
I know, but my point is...
All he did was come in and stare at The Miz.
Which was a waste of Stone Cold appearance.
So that's 2 weeks in a row they have not promoted a Stone Cold appearance?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just keeping track of these things.
You're not coming up with some kind of insane conspiracy theory crap again, are you, Rock?
No, I'm just saying it's stupid. Promote the fact that Stone Cold's going to be on your show, and maybe people will tune into your show. Call it a hunch.
Alrighty then. Oh, yeah. By the way, if you any of your Walking Dead fans, avoid Twitter for the next 90 minutes if you're waiting to watch The Walking Dead. God damn it.
You know this, Tim. This happened to you every week.
I keep forgetting.
Every week. Every single week.
I keep forgetting. So as a public service announcement, get the hell off Twitter if you don't want it spoiled and you're watching it on demand later. Right, Mace?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Walking Dead fans aren't aware of needing to do this by now.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I keep forgetting. Anyway.
He's basically reminding himself to stay off of Twitter during the show.
And disguising it as a PSA. Yeah, we'll go with that one. Mace, what's your fail for the week?
My fail for the week, and probably will be for quite a few weeks to come, the Ramen Rinse Super Push 2.0.
Uh-oh. You're going to have some very angry nights coming up, I think.
Yeah, got to make Roman Reigns look strong.
Is it even possible at this point in time?
No, they got him working with Kevin Owens, so...
Yeah, well, doesn't really mean a hell of a lot. Doesn't mean, you know, that they're going
to
succeed.
Doesn't make jack shit, to be honest.
Let's face it, people like us are just never going to buy it. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. But
the
we're going to have a hard time
not even buying it. That's the thing. It's like they run this tournament in one night, which is a really bad idea, to crown a number one contender just the week after a pay-per-view. And it's like, you know, okay, why not drag this out over the month and really hype it up? But no, we got to get it out of the way so we could have like 3 to 4 weeks of Roman Reigns cutting promos where the crowd's going, what? Boring. Boring.
Only especially,
really
when especially when Roman talks.
Yeah. Every time Roman is actually trying to cut a promo, nobody's caring. Nobody's listening even. Mm-hmm. You know, so why are we trying this again?
Don't let the guy talk. That was their big, huge ass fail right there, was letting Roman go on the microphone. The guy should never be on the mic.
Either he needs a manager, or, well, what he really needs is a fucking gimmick and look change.
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, he's the only guy out of the Shield who still wears the vest, comes out to the music, comes out through the crowd, all that shit that's related to a now-dead stable.
Yep.
He hasn't, unlike Dean and Seth, he hasn't had the chance to come into his own yet. He's still carrying around the dead weight that is the Shield.
Yep.
So no wonder the crowd isn't buying it, because they just don't care about him if he's trying to be the Shield without Dean and Seth.
No. Me saying, never let him speak.
Okay, wait, hang on a second. Who has a kidnapped woman in the background?
Oh, I've got The Conjuring on the TV. Is that too loud for you?
Okay.
It's very, should we call the copish?
Okay, no, I got the volume turned down to like 10%. I didn't realize it was still coming through that loud.
Yeah, like I'm honestly wondering, is it like a blowtorch or a vice that she's in right now?
Actually, she's in the basement, and Lorraine is got her hand through the floorboards, grabbing onto her so the demon doesn't get a hold of her. And that's what's going on. You've seen The Conjuring, right?
No.
Oh. You're not into horror movies.
Nope.
No. Mace kind of is, aren't you, Mace? Kind of?
I am, but I haven't seen The Conjuring.
Oh, it's worth watching. I'll tell you that much right now. It's another one of those based on a true story things. That took place in the 70s, but it's still good. It's not one of those gore fests, but it's still it's entertaining as a psychological type thing, psychological thriller. So where were we? Is it my turn to give a fail now?
I believe so.
All right, my fail is the damn Divas on Monday Night Raw. That's my fail. Charlotte, Paige, Becky Lynch versus Team Bella. The match itself, not the aftermath. It's just very not good. And what's going on with WWE not utilizing Becky better?
I think she's just a forgotten factor in all this because they really don't know how to they genuinely don't know how to use more than two or three women at one time.
Apparently, yeah. But, yeah, sure, you know, turn Paige full out heel. That part's good. That, you know, it's a long time coming. Let it happen. But it just,
You could say that in everything, the whole Divas Revolution. Like, what is, like, okay, yeah, what has Becky done? But what has Tamina done in the whole Diva Revolution? Yeah, what has Alicia Fox done?
What has Sasha done? Even though the crowd constantly chants for her every fucking week.
Yep.
Let's see. We've had two of the best. Okay, we have half of the participants in two of the best women's matches the WWE has ever put on. Yeah, she's going to stay on the ring apron and never enter a match ever. So we could have Brie Bella wrestling.
See, they're putting the people that we really don't want to see wrestle into the ring to wrestle. And keeping the talent on the outside. Does that make sense?
No, because part of them really wants to put up all the new NXT divas against the old divas. So we have new, fresh matchups that you didn't see on NXT. Except the old divas still can't wrestle for shit because they didn't come up through NXT.
Well, this might be potential good news in all of those badness. Apparently, Nikki Bella's taking a bit of a hiatus. Along with her boyfriend, John Cena.
Oh, good. So the better wrestler's leaving.
Yeah. For a while there, Brie was looking better just because of, you know, her being married to Daniel and him helping her out. But, yeah, I don't know what happened there.
He got injured and can't help anymore.
There you go. That's probably right. Yeah. So, well, there it is. Win and the fail.
Can I add on an additional fail for this week?
Please.
It's going to fit into our next topic.
Aight.
So this is a bridge. Mex America.
Oh, God.
Like, really? I'm going to go Miz here and just really, like, a half Mexican, half American flag, renaming the U.S. title to the Mex American Championship, putting Uncle Dutchy with Alberto Del Rio. Really?
I don't have a problem with Dutch teaming up with Alberto Del Rio, but Mex America.
I do. The reason why is because of the way it looks. You've got Alberto Del Rio, who came back in Hell in a Cell, looking buff as all shit, like really in better shape than when he first debuted in the company many years ago. He comes in, wrestles an amazing match, and then you have Dutch Mantel at ringside in one of those little motorized scooters.
Something my mother should have.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, really? Like, okay, if Dutch can't really walk, That down to the ring and back. Maybe it's time to have him enter a different part of the company. Because that just looks really pathetic. Here it is, Alberto Del Rio looking like he does, really fit and everything. Being sort of having to really drag this decrepit old carcass that is Dutch Mantel down to the ring in his little motorized shopping cart from fucking Walmart.
No, don't worry. It'll make sense. First time Del Rio gets in trouble during a match, Zeb will start firing red shells at him. It'll be great.
Well, I'm expecting at some point in time to the All-American American come out and cause shit, and then you get something going on.
I don't think possibly,
but even if Zeb was able, like, I know it's not really possible with these carts because we've actually got one. I got to play around in it. Those things don't go very fast, so you can't even have him run over somebody on the outside. You can't even use it as a goddamn weapon.
I don't necessarily know if it's like Dutch can't walk without it anymore, because he was walking fine the last run he had.
Well, I remember, everybody, he got beat down to go on this hiatus that he went on to get off camera for a while. Is he selling the results of the beat down with this little scooter?
I'm not sure if it's that or if it's just a little gimmick to work into him, just like to make it a little bit different outside. Like, because I didn't hear anything about him not being able to move without a scooter anymore or anything like that.
As far as those things not going very fast, you could still hurt somebody if you roll it on their ankle.
If you roll anything on someone's ankle, you're liable to hurt them because it's
when they're not looking.
When they're not looking, so it's kind of hard to miss a scooter that big.
Guess me, get behind them.
Yeah, it's a stealth scooter.
stealth mode.
No, I don't mind it so much. Like, it's a bit of a shock factor because, yeah, it's like the Fox News caricature coming out, and I brought Alberto Del Rio back while I'm at it. Wait, what?
You did, huh? Wait a minute.
More importantly, do we remember when Del Rio went solo in the WWE? No Ricardo, no nothing.
Del Rio went solo in the WWE without Ricardo?
Oh, yeah.
No way. Really?
Yeah. You know why you don't remember it?
Because it wasn't fun.
Because I have salad bowls that were more exciting than Del Rio was on his own.
So that's why you got somebody with him. I don't expect this to last. I can understand, you know, what Mace was saying, that, you know, it's really dumb. But, you know, you brought it up. It's the shock value. And as long as it's short-lived, I can do with the shock value. You know, so that's why I don't mind it, because I'm hoping and expecting it to not last.
Oh, it won't last. What manager relationship ever lasts? Like, even Paul Heyman's turned on Brock, what, twice at least?
Well, yeah, but he keeps coming back to his meal ticket.
Gotta feed the Jew.
Oh, careful, you'll get edited.
On this network?
Yeah.
That's too much effort for Rock.
Wait a minute, this is WTR, not WWE. There you go. All right, so yeah, let's just get into the Del Rio signing. What exactly does this do to the WWE landscape now that he's come back?
It gives John Cena a holiday.
Is that like the biggest thing going?
Pretty much, because you remember what we were saying, but like as all this word was coming up with John Cena taking time off and everything, we were saying who could take his place, who could hold that US title and make it still mean something. We had a grand total of zero people.
Well, I would have given it to Dean Ambrose just because I'm a Dean Ambrose fan.
but at the same time, like all of a sudden we've had this shock return, a literal shock return. Nobody saw this coming in any direction.
Yeah.
You got Del Rio with the belt. They have a storyline of sorts with this Mex America thing. And they can continue him either playing up the open challenge, or because he's a heel, he doesn't do any challenges, doesn't defend the belt, or he does it in, you know, crappy little squash matches or something. And that leaves him open with a really good feud with Cena when Cena comes back in December.
You know, like, how dare you desecrate what I built up? Give me my title back, bitch.
Exactly. Exactly.
And people might actually get into a John Cena match for a change.
People have been doing that for, like, most of this year, Tim.
Well, you know, people have been neglecting to admit how good his matches have been for most of this year and still shitting on John Cena. And sure, I get the chanting at the arena, you know, let's go Cena sucks. That's just so ingrained. It's fun. It's like going to your sporting event, having half the stadium yelling out "Tastes great," the other half is yelling out "Less filling." It doesn't mean anything. Now, I'm talking about these people, these morons, these idiots on the internet. You know, if you don't like something, go on the internet and complain, right? And it's cool to bash John Cena, still, according to these people bashing John Cena. But, yeah. How do I know? John Cena's been putting on some damn good matches this year because Mace hasn't been bitching about him so much.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
This year has
been the year of, like, a lot of Cena haters have been shutting up this year because Cena has constantly put on good performances against new and old talent.
And, you know, we've been saying he's been putting on pay-per-view quality matches on Monday Night Raw, defending that damn U.S. title.
I think the biggest reason you see them shutting up is the fact he's not hogging the world title right now. Like, he comes back in for every now and then, but for the most part, has not been interested in it in the least. So Seth Rollins gets to run with it. You know, Brock Lesnar gets to run with it.
Yep.
We need a few other people to run with it, but...
Don't worry, we'll have ramen rinse come January.
Ramen noodles.
No, it's ramen rinse.
Oh, I just call them ramen noodles. I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah. aside from that, is this a long-term return for Del Rio? What do you guys think?
Yeah. He's definitely signed on for quite a while.
Yeah.
I believe we're going around. He's signed on for at least a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good, because if there's one thing that WWE needs right now is somebody who can transition between the mid and the main event levels of the company to try and bring more to it, because that's the one thing that seems to be really floundering is that there's not enough competition, even though they've got a large roster.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no real name value. Whereas Alberto Del Rio, he has a name. He has a really good reputation with the fans. He has, you know, a really good reputation with even like the hardcore, we hate everything fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's a guy who can work on your US title, on your IC title level,
mm-hmm.
and bring the guys up. While at the same time, if, you know, once that mid-card division is really stable, you can put Del Rio into the main event level area with guys like Seth Rollins, and nobody's going to complain. They'll be like, holy crap, this is a great idea. This is going to be a great, you know, a great feud, a great matchup.
Yep.
He's a good transitional guy.
And it works because he's not one of – it's not like, well, we're bringing back one of the Attitude Era guys, one of like the late Attitude Era. We're not bringing back like a Brock or a Batista or anything like that just for quick attention. You know, this is someone that was built up in the more modern era in the first place. And it feels like a genuine return to form.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of people wondering exactly how much WWE is paying him. There's a whole bunch of different stuff out there. How much is he getting paid? I do know for a fact what his downside is. His downside on his contract is $1.4 million. Not too bad if you're not working.
Well, even that has kind of an iffy thing.
So,
see, apparently that's not the guaranteed downside. The one report said that was actually about three times higher than what the guarantee was. $1.45 million is his potential to make every year.
So, well, according to my sources, that's his downside.
Well, according to my sources, you're an idiot.
Your sources aren't as knowledgeable as mine.
Oh, no. They literally just said you are an idiot. Also, the downside is not nearly that much.
That's what I said. Your sources don't know anything.
My sources are probably newer than your sources.
Your sources being newer than mine means that they're not as connected or as experienced. So, there.
My sources could beat up your sources.
No, my sources trained in the Heart Dungeon. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Not train in the Heart Dungeon.
They did so. Anyway. He's still holding the AAA title, too.
Yeah. He's going to drop it into a trash can on Monday night.
Yeah, there you go. No, he's not going to do that. He's actually part of his contract. He's allowed to work a few more indie dates this year. WWE considering AAA indie. He is going to be dropping the title, not into a trash can, but he'll be working a couple of dates for AAA, and the last one he works will be the rematch for the title that he naturally doesn't win. So, yeah. But that's the first part. Why don't we take our first break of the evening? Because that would be a good idea.
Okay.
There you go, everybody. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We got a whole bunch of totally useless trivial wrestling news to talk about. So stick with us because, you know, Candy Coma and all that stuff. We'll be back shortly.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy in
slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you serious? You're not open.
Hell yeah. Oh my god.
All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Ouch! That's hot. How does he do this without burning himself?
I don't know, but there's way too much smoke.
Yeah, there is.
Just do the line.
Oh, right. Right. We're here.
Every Thursday night, be a part of the experience known as The Rack. From all of the latest wrestling news, discussions, recaps of NXT and SmackDown, interviews with all of our favorite superstars, and more. Follow the Buzzards to The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Strange.
Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm.
It's our town. Everybody scream.
It's town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
And
welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back. It's the day after Halloween. Don't they have like an official name for it?
November 1st.
That's
Half-Price Candy Day.
Half-Price Candy Day. I like that. Can we like get that trending on Twitter?
But maybe? By the way, considering we're, you know, almost our first hour in, this was a bit late, but crack a can for the working man.
Mine is three quarters gone. And because it's 8:46 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, it's I guess you could call it wobbly pop.
Wobbly pop.
Yeah, that's what they say on the radio.
In other words, a pussy alcoholic beverage.
It's a beer, baby.
Like I said, a pussy alcoholic beverage.
Oh, now why are you calling beer a pussy beverage?
Because compared to spirits, the spirits are a lot more higher alcohol content, and they get you drunk quicker.
There you go. That's why I make my own booze. 60% alcohol.
Rocket fuel. Yeah.
It's good shit. So for some weird reason, my screen blanked that thing that you sent us that would be interesting to talk about.
Yes. I'll just sort of bring it down for people. It seems recently somebody went through either a very old Time Warner garbage bin or just happened to have these laying around from back in the day, but they posted Hulk Hogan's WCW contract from 1998, along with a whole heap of other WCW documents, including their talent database contract summary from the year 2000. For those of you who don't understand what the contract summary database is, it's basically a brief overview of what everybody in WCW in the year 2000 was getting paid along with their contract length. And of course, Hulk Hogan's 98 contract is exactly that, his contract for 1998. So you can find those on scribed.com. I'm not going to give any more information out other than that, but it's like interesting to go through and see exactly how much some people were getting paid at the time in WCW, along with a lot of the conditions in Hogan's contract. Like, just to give you an example of what somebody is getting paid in WCW, this is in the year 2000. This was just as I was starting to, like, really fuck up.
He was making $1.3 million every quarter.
I was basically going to start with the one that made me laugh the most, which was Tank Abbott getting paid $850,000 a year.
God, that's Tank Abbott making money like that is ridiculous. Because, you know, Tank Abbott.
Yeah. Mike Awesome making $350,000 a year. The Nitro girls were making anywhere from $15,000 to $52,000 a year.
52?
Wait. Different Nitro girls made different amounts?
Yes.
The fuck?
Like, the ones that you never heard about or anything, they were the ones getting about $15,000.
So that, for me, that's everyone who isn't Kimberly Page.
Pretty much.
Or Shawn Michaels' wife.
Yeah, I didn't even know she was.
Kimberly was getting $200,000 a year for shaking her ass on television.
Jesus Christ. Jinx, show me beer. That's art-hearted.
That's right. Ric Flair was making $500,000 a year. David
That's
Flair
sad.
Was at $125,000.
Ric Flair making $500,000 a year. That's sad.
Well, considering that, like, the next closest one that I could find with big numbers was Diamond Dallas Page at a bit over $1.25 million a year, compared to Flair making $500,000. But he also made like excess. Flair got excess fees on top. Like, he got $4,000 nightly per house he worked, $5,000 for every TV event, pay per view bonus of $12,500 per pay per view appearance.
Damn.
So he made up the excess in bonuses. But you gotta feel sorry for poor Terry Funk. He was only making $4,000 an appearance. He wasn't even on contract. He was on a per night agreement. One of the biggest
it's okay.
ones,
like, according to what I hear, he was provided free duct tape to hold himself together.
Yeah, true. Disco Inferno was making $300,000.
Boy, they had money to burn in WCW, didn't they?
Exactly.
God, oh, okay. pay out those big numbers. We can't lose Disco Inferno.
Makes you wonder what else.
Have a guess about Gilbert. Have a guess about Goldberg.
$2.5 million.
Tim's right on the money.
Oh my God!
He was on a 4-year contract. $2.5 million for the first 3 years. $3.5 million on the fourth.
Yep.
Dear Lord.
And that was not me looking at anything or guessing. That's just the fact that I knew what they were paying him.
But even guys like that I'm looking at this and I'm going, I can't even freaking remember these guys being on TV. Silver King, $120,000 a year for a 2-year contract.
I don't even remember him.
Exactly. You got Emery Hall at $85,000. I don't even remember who the hell that is. Even the referees were making close to $100,000 a year.
Oh, God.
And your boy Brett, Tim?
$3.5 million.
$2.5 million.
Well, he was actually with bonuses and shit, actually.
All events, $8,500 over 125 days and $100,000 bonus.
Yeah.
On top of.
So, I mean, he even wrote when he was writing a column for the Calgary Sun, he even wrote how much that he was making in a year,
yep.
including bonuses and stuff like that. I don't know if that column ran anywhere else in the world, but it was pretty popular when it was being published.
The Huffman boys, Booger T and Stevie Ray. Booger T, $700,000 a year. Stevie Ray, $240,000 a year.
Wow.
Bit of a discrepancy between brothers.
I hope Booker T never told him that.
Well, that's out there now. Jeff Jarrett started out, had a 3-year contract, started out at $275,000, ended up at $325,000. Stacy Keibler, take a guess.
$500,000.
Lower.
Lower? Really? Because I was just like taking a shot at, just taking a stab. $125,000 is my guess.
Lower.
Really?
You got to remember, she really wasn't doing much back then.
Yeah, you remember, this was back in the Miss Hancock days.
$85,000.
$15,000.
Wow.
What?
$15,000.
Holy Christ.
Our boy Canyon with his gay eggs and bacon, $240,000 a year.
Shit.
And so, it's definitely something to... Yeah, this is all on there. It's actually worth going in and having a laugh at how much these guys were being paid or overpaid.
Or in Stacey Keeler's case, underpaid.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I look through it and I'm just like, really?
You gotta think. They could have, like, they might have been able to trim that budget by half and nothing would have been any different.
Okay. Do you remember the demon, Dale Tallborg?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The kiss demon.
Yeah, exactly. 3-year contract. First year, $75,000. Third year, $125,000.
Jesus. Just to dress up like a cheap imitation of Gene Simmons and step out of an Iron Maiden coffin.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Omega's right. If they went through and, like, looked over this and went, we need to trim some fat, they might have actually saved the company, because there's a lot of frivolous money just being thrown about, according to this.
And here, I'm sure you've seen the both parts by now, the Eric Bischoff interview with JBL, talking about how he came in and saved the company money. Really?
What were they spending before?
No shit.
Was Glenn Gilberti making $400,000?
Oh, that's right, $1.5 million a year. Just to get in with his orange tights and leather jacket and do his pelvic thrusts to do disco music or dance music.
Exactly.
Like, techno music.
I can remember getting a huge kick out of Disco Inferno. It's a $300,000 kick.
But the other thing that I would recommend people go and have a look at is Hogan's contract from 98. Okay? Just for the conditions that this man got in his contract, he was to be paid $2 million within 14 days of signing the contract. So $2 million just to put pen to paper, okay? Hogan's was contracted to perform at 6 pay-per-view events through 1 year. So he's only meant to be there, you know, 6 pay-per-view agreements. With those pay-per-views, Hogan was paid 15% of domestic cable sales of the pay-per-view events, or a $675,000 guaranteed payment per
event.
That's
just ridiculous.
Hogan would get $1.35 million 3 times a year.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Absolutely none at all, pretty much. 25% of the gross for every non-televised host show.
Yep. He had the option to turn down any and all international, like, appearances or whatever. He had something like, where was it? I'm trying to read all this as I'm going through it. 50% net receipts on all merchandise, and $20,000 per appearance wearing the NWO licensed gear.
Jesus.
And he got 25% of all the NWO gear as well.
So if he actually accidentally put on an NWO T-shirt to go and wash the car, he'd make money.
As long as it was televised.
As long as it was up front. And people driving by could see him. That's a public appearance. In NWO gear.
Yep. But something I found quite amusing. Under additional terms and conditions, it was basically the trademark of the Hulk Hogan name, is that everything that's licensed through WCW has to be agreed by Hulk Hogan himself, Marvel, which we already knew,
mm-hmm.
and Titan Sports.
Whoa.
Yeah, so Vinnie Mac's trading company,
yeah,
Titan Sports, they had to have that agreed, and that was signed upon by WCW.
Wow.
Hmm. Hogan, whenever he traveled... has to receive first-class airfare, first-class hotel accommodation, limousine transportation, and $175 per diem. Basically, $175 travel money per day.
$175 daily money.
Yeah, that's just throw-around money for, like, food and shit.
And for food and incidentals and paying for things that he shouldn't be getting to begin with.
Yeah. And again, under additional terms and conditions, otherwise known as Clause 11, Section E, Hogan shall have approval over the outcome of all wrestling matches in which he appears, wrestles, and performs, such approval not be unreasonably withheld.
Jesus.
That was his creative control clause. So, yeah, again, and what's even funnier is right at the bottom where they have the signatures, you actually have Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, and he's written that as his signature.
Jesus. Unbelievable.
Like, just to go through and read those contracts is an amazing look into what it's like to take a talent such as Hulk Hogan and get him signed to the company at the peak of the Monday Night Wars / Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot of money for them to be forking out for a guy who's only working maybe a quarter of the year at most. So, yeah, if you've ever wondered about the contract negotiations and stuff that goes on behind the scenes of wrestling, search up those two documents and have a read. It's an interesting insight into the backstage of the big end of the business.
The entire thing. It's ridiculous. It really is.
So now I know what to go for when I go into contract negotiations with Tim next time.
Yeah, good luck with that. Like, serious good luck with that. You're going to need it.
Yeah, I know, because the first thing I'd be asking for is actually getting paid for this stuff after 7-8 years?
Yeah, good luck with that, too. Oh, shit. I don't know. Damn. Continuing on with what we have on our rundown sheet here, which is what they call the thing in wrestling. Brock Lesnar is scheduled to wrestle at a WWE house show in L.A. in December. You figure this might be the next WWE live Saturday night special?
Well, if they've got Brock wrestling on it, there's a high chance, because they're going to make that money back somehow.
Well, wouldn't it be kind of stupid not to put him on the network?
It would be stupid not to try and bank on any appearance Brock is willing to make.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Randy Orton injured and John Cena taking time off, basically, if WWE can pay him, Brock is willing to work extra dates. Should they pay him to work extra dates?
I don't know. I thought this was under his contract.
No, his contract is for a certain number of appearances, and technically, we're done seeing Brock Lesnar until 2016.
No, this LA date is in his contract.
The LA date is in the contract.
Yes.
Yeah, but I was talking about doing extra appearances in the contract.
I don't think Mace got that. I think he was back to the LA one.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, thanks for the clarification for him, in case he didn't know. So, but would you fork out extra per appearance money to have him show up a few times on TV or pay-per-views between now and his actual scheduled return to WWE programming?
Yes.
Just to make up for no Cena or Orton?
Pretty much. Like, if you're forking out extra money, the thing with Lesnar is he's always been a good draw for the company. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at ratings where he's appeared, they go up when he's on the show. Look at pay-per-views, you look at like eyeballs on pay-per-views that he's appearing on. There's a lot more eyeballs when he's appearing than when he's not appearing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was Vince, I'd be breaking out that checkbook right now with, you know, Orton got out injured and Cena taking a holiday to get Brock on television.
Well, if anybody knows that it takes money to make money, it's Vince McMahon. He's had no problems throwing a few bucks here and there if it might turn him a bit of a profit. So,
and because the other option is Cisco Inferno, we know how much it takes to get him on TV.
Yeah, 300 grand. So, you know, everybody wins in the situation. Vince would wind up pocketing a couple of more bucks. Let's face it. The fans get a little bit more Brock Lesnar, and that can't be bad. So, yeah. But when is Tables, Ladders, and Chairs?
December 13th? Something
like that? It's before Christmas in December.
Before Christmas, yes.
Yeah. Now, John Cena originally wasn't supposed to come back until Boxing Day, which is what they call it in the Commonwealth countries, December 26th. But he apparently, because of everything that's going on right now with various injuries to other people, they're scheduling him to return at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Is that the U.S. title rematch?
You know where TLC is, Tim?
Actually, no, I don't.
It's in Boston.
Well, then why not have him show up
in Boston? It's
literally his backyard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's going to probably be a surprise return.
There you go.
Out of a Christmas prison on the stage. Yeah.
Not that much of a goddamn surprise if we're talking about it.
If we're talking about it, yeah. But they may hint at it, but they may not actually say, oh, hey, he's there.
Still can't believe Randy Orton. How did he dislocate his shoulder again?
Taking out the trash.
Yeah. Take it out of the garbage and he popped his shoulder out. Fuck.
Trash bag out of nowhere!
Yeah, I think it's time for him to actually get some surgery to keep that damn ball in the socket.
Or hire someone to take out his own the trash for him.
Well, yeah, if he's getting paid anywhere near what they used to pay people in WCW, he can afford it.
Does he have kids? Are there any mini Ortons running around that we know of?
Probably like 3 or 4 years old.
Really?
They can walk. They can take out the trash.
That's the number one reason for young marrieds to have kids is so they have somebody to take the trash out. But I didn't know that he had any rugrats.
He has a little daughter.
Oh.
Which is why he takes more time off than he used to in the past.
Okay. You see, I don't pay attention to private lives of most of these guys, so I didn't really know. Because it was never made public and... You know, I don't need to dig into their personal lives, unlike some people.
Go follow him on Twitter, at Randy Orton.
No, because he, like, you know, it's personal life shit, and I don't want to follow him. Anyway.
Plus, he might actually sprain something, you know, replying to your tweet.
There you go. Yeah, we don't want him to dislocate his fingers. Did you guys enjoy Ronda Rousey making her appearance at WrestleMania last year?
In the Vegeta t-shirt? Yes.
Heck of a pop she got. Now, 3 years from now, having Ronda Rousey being a full-time WWE diva, chasing the Divas title, 3 years from now, is she still going to be relevant?
Yes.
She'll be about 30 years old, so she'll have a couple years in front of her still to be able to do so.
Yeah, I believe she'll still be relevant to him. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's
one of these names in the UFC that you are always going to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the strongest woman's competitor in MMA history.
Yep.
So, you know, she's going to be relevant for many, many years to come. And if she wants to jump from UFC to WWE, Vince is going to be sitting there going, oh my God, the dollars are going to be great.
Well, I'm just wondering.
You know, she could train her ass off. She could become Divas champion, and she could do a damn well good job of it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how much Vince drooled when he heard the interview that she did with Fox Sports Australia a couple weeks ago. Because this is not speculation on our part, people. She actually said that she wants to be in WWE within 3 years, and she wants to be the Divas champion. And I'm thinking, damn, girl.
What she will here the quote is, what I would love to do, I got an Olympic gold medal, I want to retire from MMA as one of the greatest of all time, I would love to have the chance to be the boxing world champion, I would love to have the chance to be the jiu-jitsu world champion, I love to have the chance to be the Divas world champion, and just be the best of everything at one point.
So she has a laundry list of people she wants to beat the shit out of.
Pretty much, and Triple H said, you're always welcome, I'll leave the light on at the Performance Center for you.
So
yeah, the lights turned on, and you know for a fact that Vince and Triple H are waiting at the door with a check written out to however much you want.
So blank,
Triple H, what do you need?
The light is on. The light is on. The door is unlocked. The shower's warmed up. Whatever you want, man.
don't kill me.
Yeah, there you go.
You want the red carpet? We'll give you the red carpet. You want to change the purple? We'll do that too. We don't care.
Yeah, we'll skin Michael Cole and lay it out if you want to.
Yeah, and if you've seen Expendables 3, you know she looks damn good in the red dress.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. that was probably one of the
most amusing scenes in that entire movie was, oh, okay, so where's the bouncer? She is the bouncer.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay then. So yeah, so that, you know, like, please, Rhonda, do us all a favor and sign with WWE sooner rather than later. Rusev got hurt again, guys.
Rusev got crushed.
What trash was he taking out?
Good question.
Adrian Neville.
No, he got hurt at what was it, SmackDown taping on Tuesday,
facing Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
Mid-match.
The absolute best would have been if he got injured while Randy Orton was asking him to take his trash out for him because he couldn't do it.
Yeah, but that was not the case. He ruptured something in his bicep. He's got like 3 to 4 weeks.
So it is possible it was due to taking out Randy Orton's trash.
It could have been.
That's it. We're signing Randy Orton's trash and we're putting it into a match at WrestleMania.
against Roman Reigns.
Oh, it'd be a handicap match against Roman Reigns, John Cena, and Brock Lesnar. Those three guys will not survive the trash of Randy Orton.
Guys, does WWE have enough baby faces?
They have baby faces.
Good guys, not heels. Do they have enough?
Name the top five baby faces, Tim.
Who are not out on hiatus or injured?
Yes.
I can't.
I think that answers your question.
Yeah, there you go. You got Roman Reigns, and then who?
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Should Dean Ambrose turn heel?
No. Not enough faces on the roster. Keep him as a face.
Yeah, especially with his level of popularity.
That's one of the latest rumors, turning Dean Ambrose heel against Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. So when Roman Reigns wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, he can have a program against Dean Ambrose. And there you have it. All three members of the Shield, former members of the Shield, having matches against each other.
Dean
Ambrose is a baby face and let him just say, you know, loser buys beer again.
You know, it's so typical, like a partnership like Roman and Dean would end in something like that. I'm actually finding it rather refreshing that, you know, you have someone who's literally just his friend. Like, you would think, like, these people work together, they travel together, you know, they're on the road 300 days a year together.
Yep.
A few of them are going to act like friends with each other, you know, and not everyone is going to be some scheming fuckwit trying to get a title or any kind of moniker of revenge or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm your friend until I have to prove a point to earn a title shot.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Plus he does, but for what Ambrose can do, like promo wise, like look at this past week. They say, okay, go find two partners. Those promos that he cut, like comparing Cesaro to James Bond and making fun of him and everything, that was great. Same with Ryback. It's all like, he'll do.
Yeah, he'll do.
it's almost like having Brian Pillman back.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that loose cannon persona that you never know what he's going to say or do next.
God, I miss Brian.
And when he just acts normal, it's like, wow, that's still entertaining as fuck.
Yeah, normal for Dean Ambrose is still out in left field for other people. Shit, yeah. But
pretty much. What's normal for Dean Ambrose is Arkham Asylum for the rest of us.
There you go. Turning Dean Ambrose heel, I think, is a big dumb idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let him keep doing what he's doing.
Only because they'd be doing it to give Roman Reigns somebody to go up against.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it just for the sake of doing that, because forget it, I'm cheering for Dean Ambrose. I don't care if he's a heel.
So you'll see that in about a week.
There you go. We don't need Dean Ambrose as a heel. We need Dean Ambrose as somebody climbing the ladder into the main event, as far as I'm concerned, because I think he can hang with all the other main eventers.
You need Dean Ambrose as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Wouldn't that be good?
Kind of do.
He would
Dean Ambrose carrying that heavyweight title? Yeah, I would buy that.
You need a top face that can carry it whose name isn't Cena. Yeah. But you've literally got nobody else at this point.
I mean, I have not minded Seth Rollins being the heel champion, the reign that he's had since WrestleMania. Fine, all good and dandy. Roman Reigns' reign, if you'll excuse me, is going to... It just feels to me like it's going to be Diesel's. And when Diesel had that title, let's face it, he didn't do a good job carrying the company as the guy on top.
Someone go find Bret Hart and get the belt off of Diesel. Let's go.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'd love to see Dean Ambrose as the heavyweight champion. Could you imagine him going on like Jimmy Kimmel Live or something like that? And the interviews that they get with him?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that'd be entertaining. I like that idea.
Put him on The Tonight Show. Put him on The Daily Show with that new guy.
Oh, please don't. That new guy is horrible.
Yeah, he's not good. He's a South African dude.
Look who he has to follow.
True. I'll give you that, but I've tried watching the guy and just... no.
Give it time. You know, Drew Carey got better.
Marginally.
Yeah.
Still he's better.
He's one of these guys.
Because look who he has to
come back
follow.
In 12 months.
So, yeah. Anyway, coming up, we've been... yapping now for, 45 minutes. Why don't we take our next break of the evening and come back with a couple more things. We've got a bit of a long segment here. Our very own version of 13 Ghosts. What are we talking about? Stay tuned. You're going to find out on the other side of this break. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
Eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. For my love Notari in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrodes.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air.
Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just basically shooting the
shit. My God, Rock. As we went to commercial, I'm like, what the fuck is next? The fucking time warp? Thank God you did not disappoint me.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's a step to the right.
Put your hands on your hips and do the biggie wiggle.
Hey, draw your knees in tight and do the biggie wiggle. As opposed to the pelvic roll?
I reckon they need to censor him every time he starts wiggling.
You find that vaguely obscene, do you?
No, you just hear a gush from all the women in the first three rows.
So censor the women in the first three rows. They tried to shoot Elvis from the waist up. Didn't always work.
Very true, very true. And I've got to say this. How about them Cowboys?
Wow.
Lost by 1 point to the Seahawks.
Thank you, Seattle.
Wow, it's just now November 1st, and we're already doing holiday Christmas commercials for the lottery. That didn't take long. Anyway, continue.
What did you
really? I've seen Christmas ornaments for sale in the local mall down here since August.
Oh, yeah. I have too. It was just the commercials. Like wow, okay, we're already in November. Okay,
Literally, Halloween was yesterday. Now it's Christmas time.
Like, literally, the Coca-Cola in my house, we ran out of one case on the 31st. We opened a new case on today.
And it
Santa
had
on the cans.
Stuff in it. Yep. Yeah,
I'm convinced the paint is made to change at the right time.
Well, but buy a can in January and see if it changes in December.
just put it on your mantle until December. Leave it there for like 11 months.
I'm sure it'll change color, but
I'm just waiting for it to, you know, they should just skip changing the seasonal stuff in stores and just go straight Christmas 365 days a year.
Just have a Christmas section.
Yeah, exactly. Save the time and effort and just have a Christmas section.
There's a store in Kensington in Calgary. It's called the Christmas Store. It's open year-round.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Nashville, and they have one of those stores.
Yeah. And it's like, you walk, it doesn't matter what, you know, like the middle of June, and it's like 85 degrees Fahrenheit out. You got Christmas shit happening.
Yeah. So. Time is a very weird thing. As I showed something to Omega during the commercial break that it's like, what
the
year
fuck?
Are we in? Like, seriously, a Popples TV series in 2015. Really? Like,
we have the Muppets.
I don't care.
I know.
The Muppets are mainstream.
The Muppets have a TV show. Popples are back. What year is it? Really?
What was the name of the song that Rock played coming back from break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Jesus.
This reminds me, I'm behind on my Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's on my ball, like one episode.
There you go.
I've got like four to catch up on now.
Oh.
So, Tim, there was a reason I chose Time Warp for this segment, because of the story.
Yeah, Kevin Nash getting into shape for potentially one more run in WWE. He figures he's got one last go-round in him. What do you think? Should WWE let it happen?
No.
Kevin, dude.
Let it go.
Yeah, just stick to the Magic Mike movies, dude. Just stick to the movies, okay?
He was in Magic Mike?
He was in both of them.
Oh, what, there's a second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is, Tim.
Was Gabriel Iglesias in the second one?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And he even got to be a stripper, too.
Shut up.
That'll put butts in the seat. Oh, God.
Fluffy as a stripper?
Actually, that's a scary thing.
Fluffy is a stripper? I just, no, I can't.
Anyone
see
remember
that.
The Chris Farley Chippendale sketch from SNL?
How can you forget that with awesome. Him and Patrick Swayze?
That got immortalized as a dance in World of Warcraft. Yes.
No matter how hard you try, you're never going to get that image out of your head ever. Oh, Christ.
By the way, Tim, speaking of Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias,
yeah.
I recommend, if people haven't been able to find it so far, go and take a look around. His new show, Fluffy Breaks Even.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Oh, my God. Food porn. It's, like some of the stuff that these guys will track down to eat, and then the workouts they'll do afterwards. Funny, like the food is amazing and the workout's great. And I sat there from episode one wondering, when is DDP going to speak up and have a go at Fluffy? It took till episode five.
It took five episodes for that to happen.
Yep.
I have to admit,
it's like all this high calorie and fat, bro. You better get your ass down here for a workout.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm glad that they started the series at the Heart Attack Grill in Vegas and then pole danced the next day.
I want to go to that grill, that Heart Attack Grill. Oh my God, I would be just like the food alone.
Oh, it's good, man. Like the food, the food you order, nothing weighs less than a pound. Nothing is less than a pound.
Okay. Here's the worst thing for an Australian watching all these American things and then planning to move to the U.S. I'm now making a checklist of places to go and eat.
A bucket list of restaurants and stuff.
It's a literal bucket list, because I'll die with the amount of grease and fat and everything else I'll be taking into my body at all these goddamn restaurants.
Well, at least you'll look like an American. Ooh. Yeah, but no, when you finally do make it to North America, Mace, definitely you're going to the Heart Attack Grill. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've been there. It was a while back, over 10 years ago, but yeah, it's worth going.
The girlfriend has already said that we are taking like a holiday down to Texas just so I could go through some of those places where they use the smokers to cook the meat and all that shit.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit, nothing beats Southern barbecue. Nothing beats Southern barbecue.
So I hear.
Oh.
But this shows you how little we give a shit about Kevin Nash getting back in the ring. We'd rather talk food.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been talking about food here and there, so.
Wait, hold on. Wait, been talking about food here or there? Really? Really?
Here and there, I've been talking about food.
Huh, okay.
I had people ask me about my cookbook today at work.
Wait, you're making a cookbook?
Are you going to really do this?
Yeah, I'm going to get you to shill your damn cookbook.
You're going to get me to shill from the man kitchen. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I wrote a cookbook. The cookbook has been written. All we have to do is to finalize everything and print it off, and it's practically, within a week or two of being ready for purchase?
Sure.
Yeah, if we actually, like, get on it, right, Rock?
Sure, I guess I have work to do this week, don't I?
Yeah, maybe. We're going to have two different versions of it available. You get a hard print copy, and a lot of people here, of course, in the city are getting the an actual printed copy from me. $15 Canadian. The digital version that we're going to work on will be only $10 US, and you can load it up on your mobile device, like Kindle, your tablets, whatever, and use that when you're in the kitchen cooking all this good food. It's all yummy.
See, what you should be doing, Tim, is for a digital version, is to make an app with a whole heap of videos of you cooking this food and giving instructions at the same time.
Oh, are you ready for this? The cookbook is going to lead into a video webcast, which is actually going to wind up on Shaw Cable Television here in Alberta, Canada. The entire province will get to see me cooking in my kitchen. Not just the stuff in the cookbook, but other things that are not in the cookbook. Doesn't that sound good? Just say yes.
Sounds amazing.
There you go. That's all I needed was the embellishment. It worked for me.
There you go. Next.
Yeah, so continuing on with what we're actually supposed to be doing here, aside from shilling shit, let's do this. In honor of the fact that it was Halloween yesterday, 13 Ghosts. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie 13 Ghosts or not. It really doesn't have anything to do with this concept. The idea is, let's see if we can come up with 13 things that should or could haunt Vince McMahon to the grave.
Have you heard about this? No, doesn't matter. Don't know why I brought it up.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for pointing that out, Omega. I appreciate it.
That's what he's here for.
There you go. But, random order. Just see what you can come up with. I've got two right off the top of my head. The World Bodybuilding Federation and the XFL.
The XFL shouldn't haunt him because guess what? A lot of his concepts from the XFL made it over to the NFL.
Yeah. You know, it was really funny when he was looking around to do his own football thing. He actually was in talks with the Canadian Football League. He wanted to purchase the Canadian Football League. And everybody up in Canada was all, you know, this is a great idea. And then he says, okay, well, this is what we'll do. Oh, yeah, you know what? Forget it. So he just changed the concept of the CFL completely. But
things that should haunt Vince McMahon is not doing the WCW invasion correctly.
Okay, I actually went through and found 13, so...
Oh, God. I thought you, we were going to spitball these.
I had enough time before the show.
Because... Okay.
I didn't realize that y'all came off fucking daylight savings time, so I had a spare hour to kill today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so you cheated, and here I'm thinking, let's just see if we can just come up with 13 different goddamn things.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the WBF.
Let me guess, Mace. ECW on Sci-Fi.
Correct.
Thought so.
Okay.
Tim's already pointed out two, World Bodybuilding Federation and the XFL. Linda's State Senate run.
Oh, does that count as one or two?
One.
One. That's one.
Because she ran twice and he sank a grand total of, what, $97 million?
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Rock got another one, which was the WCW invasion.
Okay.
I had down Donald versus Rosie, if anybody remembers that. Terrible, terrible idea.
Donald versus Rosie.
In theory, he was onto something. Executed, awful.
Exactly. Katie Vick, a literal ghost to haunt him, faking his own death.
Uh-huh.
That probably was going to be good.
Until
something else happened.
Okay.
Keep going.
The current run of bad ratings. The steroid saga.
That will always haunt him.
1993 will never go away.
Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan.
Wait a minute. Hulk Hogan? How could that haunt Vince McMahon?
What's a Hulk Hogan?
Exactly, brother.
Yep.
And of course, Chris Benoit.
I don't chalk that up to, like, one of his personal ghosts, you know?
Yeah. But
the thing is, we had down could or should haunt WWE and Vince McMahon. That is always going to be something that is going to haunt that company. I technically have that correct.
Technically, he's got a point, but I was my concept was bad ideas on Vince's part.
Ah, so Muhammad Hassan.
Muhammad Hassan. That was not good.
The next one I thought of was HLA.
Again, something good in theory, but not practice.
Theory.
It's fun to watch, but not during my wrestling show. Unless Mickey James is crotching Trish and then licking her fingers afterwards, which is censored in every rebroadcast.
Thank God I still have the original.
Yeah, not.
This is like one of the most awesome psycho moments in WWE. Bitch, be fucked up.
So, did we hit 13 answers?
I wasn't counting.
We almost counted. I just let Mace go off on his list and hope that he didn't say anything else I was thinking of.
Okay, well, we had the WBF, the XFL, the Invasion Angle, ECW on Sci-Fi, Katie Vick. That's five.
Linda said it. Six.
Now use your other hand, Tim. Yep.
Shut up, Rock.
Steroids.
You're going to have to take off at least one shoe for this, Tim.
Steroids was seven.
He who shall not be named the brother.
Eight.
The other who shall not be named.
Technically nine. We'll give that one to you. I think him doing what he did to all the territories, because there is no professional wrestling industry anymore. There's just WWE. I think that has hurt.
TNA is angry at you now, Tim.
What's the TNA?
That indie company.
By the way, which to not take us off topic, it's very weird for to see TNA pictures on a WWE program on the WWE Network. It's very, very weird.
What TNA pictures?
Curtis Axel showed R-Truth pictures of Mr. Perfect and R-Truth from TNA during the Table for Three thing. And it's like the old school Nashville TNA pictures. Wow. Seeing that there. And it was also in the Sting documentary. They showed a picture of Sting and TNA, and they actually mentioned TNA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when Curtis Axel showed these photos to R-Truth, did he say, hey, you remember when you were popular?
So did you count HLA, Tim, in your list?
That would be number 10.
Okay.
Okay, I got another one. Knucklehead starring The Big Show.
can we just say WWE movies in general?
WWE studios, mostly.
There you go. That's 11.
Two more.
What other atrocities has Vince McMahon committed?
Now, can we count this one separately, or do we put it in with the ECW on Sci-Fi one? The ECW December to Dismember pay-per-view?
That's ECW on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, I'd count it the same.
We should change it not ECW on Sci-Fi to WWE ECW. That should be the one gimmick on that one.
WWE's version
of ECW.
Yeah.
Eva
Marie?
No.
She's not dead yet.
The Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club?
Yes, I will accept that.
And number 13, any abuse done to Jim Ross?
Oh, yeah, alright. Omega disputes the Kiss My Ass Club. Why?
Because it's dumb, but it makes sense conceptually. Like, it is, like, it's an embarrassment to show authority. Like, it only got fucked up when they started doing it as a gag. Shoving Vince's head into Big Show's ass, which frankly they could have done without even the Kiss My Ass Club.
Okay. Since Omega disagrees, we need a 13th.
The Gobbledygooker.
Gobbledygooker. The jeez. Is there anything worse than the Gobbledygooker?
The goon?
Would you consider
that question for years?
Would you consider Bret Hart getting screwed at Survivor Series is ultimately a bad move?
No.
Okay. What about what happened with Owen Hart without going into detail?
Ooh.
Would that be something to haunt you to the grave? I would put that in the same category as He Who Shall Not Be Mentioned.
Pat Patterson versus Gerald Briscoe in a hardcore evening gown match.
There's okay, you know what?
God,
let's go with that one.
God damn it.
There you go. By the way, Owen Hart is totally missing.
I'm sorry. Would that be counted under horror or torture?
Okay, I got to find my therapist number again. Fucking hell.
That's eyeball torture, that's all.
Yeah. Owen Hart is clearly missing from WWE 2K16, by the way. Just pointing this one out.
I wonder why.
We all know why, but he would be awesome in the game.
Yes, he would have been. But once again, thanks, Martha.
But at least
thank God we have this Community Creations and this little feature in WWE 2K16 known as a face scan.
No,
where you can take pictures of either wrestlers not in the company or whatever and make it actually look like the person?
No, it was more for the story mode. There's a clearly, he should be a part of it.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, thank God we have a community that can correct that mistake and at least give us Owen Hart in the game somewhere.
Yeah, because for those not paying attention to the game, it focuses on Steve Austin's career, and there's this little incident, this little tiny thing that Owen was kind of involved in.
To their credit, they showed the footage.
They have to show something.
They showed the footage. They showed all the footage. But, yeah.
But the thing with the story modes, or in this case the showcase mode, a lot of the matches are revolving around things that Austin can win.
Actually, no. There's a lot of losses in there.
I haven't actually gotten that far into it yet, so.
It's like Austin did win that match.
Yeah, Austin did win that match, but there are a few things where he does actually lose.
The worst roll-up ever.
The worst roll-up ever. Though, the good thing about the game, you can actually go back in and recreate some of the moments and do it from the opposite side. There's special little features in the game. Anyway, moving on.
So, yeah, that's our 13 gross ghosts. Well, let's kick into the all-time greatest, shall we?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Say it, Mace.
Oh, shit.
The 14th ghost hidden away.
It's an Easter egg!
Say it again, because Tim cut you
Tim
off.
Tim overtired you. Yeah.
Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
Yeah.
Years later, grown up.
Hi, Mom!
I have to admit, that's one of the biggest laughs I've ever had on Raw.
Having the thing returned, yeah. Okay, that was funny.
The hand grown up.
All right, diving into the all-time greatest, The Rock becomes the corporate champion, or Steve Austin drops Triple H off a forklift. Omega.
No, not anymore. Cool moment does not top The Rock going corporate. It just laid too much groundwork.
Right. Mace.
Yeah, I'm going to have to also give it to The Rock going corporate.
Tim.
Dropping Triple H off a forklift does not beat The Rock, becomes corporate champion.
So The Rock becoming corporate champion moves on. In one fashion, Steve Austin will win the next one. Bret Hart, Steve Austin Classic in 1996, or Steve Austin gets run down by a car in 1999, Mace.
Beep, beep, motherfucker. Austin getting run down by a car.
Why?
Because Stone Cold said so?
No, I need a little bit more than that.
Because he doesn't want to vote for anything that has Bret Hart in it.
No, it's not that. It's like, as good as that, as long as the match was and everything, you know, the bigger thing that Austin will be remembered for when you come down to those two is Austin being run over by a car, by Rikishi, then The Rock, then by Triple H. Three people in the same car. That's very weird.
Okay. Omega.
God damn it.
What's going through your head?
Trying to think of which one led to more, which one was more accomplished.
The Steve Austin Bret Hart Classic led to Steve Austin's frustrations for wanting to beat Bret Hart, which led to 1997 match at WrestleMania 13, and then boosted off the rest of Steve Austin's career. But then there's Steve Austin.
If you want to run on logic like that, then any match could lead to wherever someone got today. Like you start chaining together logic like that, you could start the chain anywhere.
You asked the question.
I know.
And then Steve Austin running down the car led to Rikishi becoming a badass heel instead of a goofy comedy gimmick, and you go from there.
The reasoning was still stupid as hell, but then it's going to be the car.
Tim disagrees. Tim, why do you disagree?
Because the Bret Hart-Steve Austin match set bars number one. It established Austin as the badass that he was during his run in WWE. It's like some bitch ain't giving him for no reason at all whatsoever. Forget it. Ain't happening. And it's a case of you might beat him or you might win, but you will never beat him. And it, you know, like, not following your chain of logic, because this leads into that, which leads into that, which leads into that. It's the genesis. It's the establishment of Austin's character and the fans buying into Austin overwhelmingly over the guy who was the face of the company at the time.
Well, that more happened in 97 than 96.
This was the launching pad.
Okay. I agree.
So these guys are wrong, and I veto their votes.
I tend to agree with you, Tim, that the Bret Hart Steve Austin is the bigger moment, but they voted that way, so that one moves on.
That's because they're silly gooses.
Next week, to finish off round three, Raw vs. SmackDown in 2005 versus the debut of The Undertaker, and Bob Backlund wins the WWF title. We're the Montreal Screwjobs next week in the All-Time Greatest. We're almost at the finals. Almost.
Getting closer. We should be
wrapped up. Would that mean that we've done... when we finish this up, we should be finished in time for the series as planned.
Yeah, we're staying.
Which will make it that we've done two All-Time Greatest in a single
in
year.
In 1 year, yeah. That's a record, man. And makes that, just want you to know that link to that video that you showed me, I've seen that before, and I want to make one of those.
Yeah.
Damn. People are like, what are they talking about? But yeah, no. Jesus, I want to make one of those. There's something else.
Basically, somebody tried to make a toasted cheese sandwich, but they wrapped bacon around the outside of it and cooked it in the bacon. Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Grilled cheese sandwich, bacon wrapped. Like, we're talking not one speck of bread showing through the bacon. Double wrapped.
Mind you, I've seen a lot of these type of things lately. I saw a guy who wrapped bacon around the barrel of his gun and then wrapped tinfoil around that and cooked the bacon with the barrel of the gun.
Just by shooting
the gun. That is a manly way to cook bacon.
That's America.
I've seen guys go out fishing, grab the fish, they'll clean gut it, wrap it in foil, throw it on the manifold, the exhaust manifold of their car, drive home. By the time they get home, the fish is cooked.
Did you know bacon causes cancer?
Did you know that it's not the meat that causes the cancer? It's the carcinogens that are created through the process of cooking that causes cancer. World fucking Health Organization.
And you know what?
Did you know nobody cares?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody gives a shit. Pass the bacon, I'm going to die happy. Fuck you all.
Absolutely. Why live forever if it tastes boring?
Why live forever if you can't have bacon?
I'm sorry. Like, if you listen to everything someone tells you is going to cause cancer, you're pretty much on water and grass, and I'm pretty sure someone's figuring out grass.
Well, water will cause cancer, especially if you drink it on Three Mile Island.
No, water causes cancer even if you're drinking fresh natural mountain water. Because
there you go.
For some reason, somewhere has put chemicals in the water somewhere.
It's all that shit that's falling on the mountains and then melting with the snow.
Global warming's killing water. It's causing cancer. Yeah. Eat more bacon.
But as far as that bacon, that bacon grilled cheese sandwich goes, Mace, there's something else that I want to try, and it's taking a pack of bacon and like weaving it, right? And then pork sausage on top of the weave, roll it up, slather it with barbecue sauce, and cook it on the barbecue.
So bacon sushi.
Basically.
I've seen this. I've seen this happen before. It's actually quite good.
Bacon sausage sushi. That's hard to say. Try it.
Bacon.
Bacon sausage sushi.
You wrap bacon inside of bacon in more bacon.
Bacon wrapped. Bacon stuffed in bacon. Bacon is the duct tape of food. Bacon! Wendy's got it right. That being said.
Anyway.
Rock is just waiting for the cue, so let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Mace, if Brock Lesnar was a type of Halloween candy, what would he be?
A jawbreaker.
That's very self-explanatory. Okay. Tim, if Bret Hart was a piece of Halloween candy, what would he be?
Saltwater taffy.
Why?
You would figure that you would make me figure out why.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar jawbreaker, that's self-explanatory. The saltwater taffy needs an explanation.
At first, it's good. You know, it starts out good, but you get really sick of the same old thing all the time after a while.
Are you calling Bret Hart stale and boring?
I'm tired of hearing people whining about him, whining about people about him.
Okay. Omega, if John Cena was a type of Halloween candy, what would he be?
He is an everlasting gobstopper. Because he never goddamn goes away.
Okay, Mace, if you were a type of Halloween candy, what would you be?
If I was a piece of candy, what would I be? I'd be the packet of dental floss. Just so much disappointment.
Tim, what would you be?
What was the question again?
If you're a type of Halloween candy, what would you be?
What kind of Halloween candy would I be?
Uh-huh.
Laffy Taffy. Tough to get through and comes with a bad joke.
Omega had that one loaded.
I think he had that one prepared all goddamn year.
Yeah, because I knew exactly what Rock was going to ask on this day.
Well, no, it's one of those cases of you had an answer prepared just in case anything like that popped up where you would be able to use it.
Yeah, I keep a list.
It's like Cards Against Humanity. You hold one back just in case.
No, you never hold back.
Shit.
Yeah, you never hold back in Cards Against Humanity. You go, oh, damn, why did I play that card last round?
Candy corn.
Why would you beat candy corn?
Because it's good.
Ew.
And nobody wants it.
Okay. Omega.
It's made with corn syrup.
Just made me realize this is like one of the few years I haven't had any candy corn around.
Omega's sad now.
I don't... There's just like shit I miss out on because I never get around to it. Like, candy corn was a first this year, but I never end up in a store that has Count Chocula. Fucking pisses me off every year that I never get any.
But if you were a type of Halloween candy, what would you be?
I would be one of the dum-dum suckers, the little ones, but I'd be that mystery flavor one.
Why?
Because frankly, I don't even know what the fuck I'm going to be on any given day.
That works. No, Hogan.
Okay, what?
No, Hogan. No. No. That's just...
That's just...
No, Hogan. No. No. Hulk Hogan as the Iron Sheik. No. No.
Oh, I have to double check. Yeah, Hulk Hogan dress up as the Iron Sheik for Halloween. Please, Iron Sheik, have you got a goddamn reply in here somewhere?
As he searches for that, we're done!
That means that's it. That's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget to follow us on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Follow WTR Sunday Night at at Wrestle Talk Radio?
At WTR Sunday Night.
At WTR Sunday Night, follow Wrestle Talk Radio. Also, check out the Facebook page as facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. One's a fan page, the other one's a like page. Like the other one, like one and become a fan of the other one, or something like that, whatever. Follow me on the Twitters at Flames Forum. Zzz, with a plural. Flames Forums. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show.
11:10 p.m. Eastern, we'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. It's the Raw Post Show. Get it? Got it? Good.
Thursday night, multi-time, multi-award winning edition of The Rack.
We'll talk NXT. We'll probably talk the Wyatt family versus the Brothers of Destruction and so much more. It's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show. Go to the website, rackradioshow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linz Ward.
Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, another edition of CB Radio.
The weird, the wacky, the unusual.
that works, him calling himself the biggest jabroni of all time.
Go back and listen to last night's episode. That will be posted tomorrow, where you can hear Subway singing his version of This Is Halloween, called This Is CB Radio. Yes, he sings on the show. It's CB Radio, the Halloween Spooktacular. Go back and listen to it. Every Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's weird, wacky, unusual news of the week. Use the hashtag BlameRob when a celebrity dies. You can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook at CB Radio Live. CBRadioLive.com is the website.
You should follow Mace on the Twitter machines.
Yeah, I suppose people should follow me on the Twitter machines at the Mace Thing. They can also go and check out my video work that I've been doing over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage. where I review many a video game, and I will eventually be posting up reviews from this past weekend's PAX Australia convention, as well as many other things that you can also find over at theouterhaven.net, where I'll be posting a lot of my video game related nonsense from now on. And yeah, I think that's it. By the way, Iron Sheik, good burn against Vincent.
That was awesome. That was same damn costume as always. Yeah, of course, Omega does stuff all over the place on the worldwide interwebs.
Yeah, I keep busy.
Do you now? How do you keep busy?
Well, over on the website, tjomega.org, there's a whole bunch of exclusive content I do not post anywhere else. However...
Exclusives? Ooh,
exclusive. Exclusive.
I like exclusives.
So do I. But for the most part, almost everything I do can be found over on YouTube, which is TJ Omega, where there's new content every single weekday, as well as over on Facebook, TJ Reviews, and Twitter, TJ Omega, where I just, you know, usually ramble bullshit.
And also tease your followers because you can.
Yeah.
Just make up, just start throwing that out there.
There you go. Yeah. So that's it. Are we done with all our plugging and shilling and shit like that?
No, you
I think so.
No. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. All you gotta do is search for Wild Talk Radio Network. For TuneIn Radio, you can listen anytime we're live on the go. And iTunes and Stitcher, well, all the archives, podcasts for free. Get it. It's awesome.
Yes, do that. And join us next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. That being said, now we're done.
Yes, now we're done.
Have a good week, everybody.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of